Well, hello there. It's Ferocia, and our topic right now is your coaching business plan. Yes, we are going to look at and actually write your coaching business plan. Now, this is a living document, which means that it will change over time. You'll constantly be coming in, updating, you know, maybe tweaking a little bit, or maybe changing complete sections. A business plan is something that evolves with you and your business, but it's also something that kind of acts as a strategy or a North Star or a way to kind of keep track of things, or what I like to think about is be able to plan how you want your business to grow. So the important thing here is I want you to do it your way. There are boxes that are fillable inside the PDF form that you can certainly just dump data in from your computer. But you can also do other things like make mind maps or make vision boards or things like that. It's really up to you. And of course, if you start to feel overwhelmed or frustrated, I get it. Writing a business plan can feel like a lot of mental heavy lifting. And you are certainly going to be making some educated guesses in terms of what some of the things should be. And a lot of that information will get updated as you get to know your business and go through the process of developing your business, getting clients. I certainly could never have written my perfect business plan for at least probably the first year of my business because so much was unknown. But the good news is it's a living document that you can continue to upgrade. And of course, if you have questions, ask them. We can't give you help if you don't ask. So without further ado, let's actually jump in. So your first step is going to be pretty much design your dream business. And you might already have a clear idea what this could look like. You might be brand new. But this part of the process, you're supposed to go into this place, well, not supposed to, I invite you to jump into the mindset of anything is possible. So for you, what does your ideal business look like once it's launched? What is the lifestyle it creates? How much are you working? Who are you serving? What are you known for? What, you know, I mean, all those pieces, like if you imagined yourself in your business, what do you see? What do you hear? What do you feel? So take the time needed to go ahead and write your answers in the box, or if it makes more sense for you to do a mind map or a vision board, go that pathway. So go ahead and hit pause and take the time needed to complete this first part of the exercise. Alrighty, well, I can't wait to see and hear what you came up with. And everything you just did in step one is going to become the foundation for step two. Your next step is to write your vision statement. So what exactly is a business vision statement? It's literally a statement that speaks to where you want your business to be in the future. And of course, I'm going to give you some examples, but what I want you to know is this is really up to you to decide. So even though I gave you some examples, by no means do your examples have to be like these. So I'll begin with the one I wrote for Coach Training World. Our vision is to make the world a better place for all living kind, through the power of holistic coaching and a global community. So it talks about where I want, you know, the bigger picture of the company to make the world a better place and how it's going to happen through the power of holistic coaching and a global community. There's some other examples listed, like one from Patagonia. Build the best product, cause no unnecessary harm, use business to inspire and implement solutions to the environmental crisis. So hopefully this gets your brain thinking about what we're looking for here. Of course, if you have questions, please ask. But what I'd like you to do now, again, is hit pause to this audio and take the time you need to go ahead and write down your vision statement. And remember, this is a living document. So do your best to write down something and then come back to it. This is not about being perfect, at least not yet, or probably never, but it's really about just kind of claiming what it is that your business will be in the future. Okay, go ahead and hit pause, and I'll see you in a second. And now we're on to step three, writing your mission statement. So a mission statement is a brief description of your company's purpose. It answers the question, why does my business exist? It tends to focus on the here and now, where your vision statement focuses on the future. So again, here are a couple examples. Our mission is to assist change makers and luminaries to evoke change their way and to bring their unique light into the world. I bet you can't guess whose mission statement that is. A couple more examples. To offer world-class support for healthcare professionals so that they may find work-life balance. Our mission is to alleviate the fear that comes with life's unexpected transitions. So what I'd like you to do is begin by answering the question, what is your why for the business? And you'll notice, like in my mission statement, I kind of named who I help and what I help them with. So again, you've got some examples, but begin with that. What is your why? What is the purpose of your business? And then when you're ready, use the box below or any other resource that you might have to write your mission statement. So go ahead and hit pause and do your best. Again, this isn't about being perfect. This is just one step of many. And I find that my vision and mission statement tend to update about every 2 years. So please know that this is not about forever. This is for right now. So go ahead and hit pause and I'll talk to you in a second. Alrighty, this next section is about just identifying your business name and legal structure. So if you haven't chosen a business name by this time, I'm going to highly recommend that you probably just go with your name. So if you did something like Ferocia.com, like I did, the beautiful thing about that is as you are forming your services and your products and your programs and your workshops, you can use your name as the umbrella company and then change up the products. And as you figure out exactly who you want to help and how you want to help them, you're not stuck with a business name that basically puts you in a box. Like when you said, if I said Ferocia's health and wellness coaching, and then I decide like 6 months later, I don't want to do health and wellness coaching. Well, now my business name is all wrong because I want to do something else. So that's my little thing tip for the day. But of course, if you really want to have a business name, just know that you probably want to pick something that allows you some flexibility to change things up later on. If you haven't decided on your legal structure for your business, you know, some people will go straight for a corporation. A lot of people will do what's called a limited liability company or a sole proprietorship. Again, this is something you would want to talk to with either a CPA or an attorney to figure out what's right for you and get some wise advice. Those of you that are in different countries, I know you've probably got your own titles for this. And, you know, again, this is about just kind of figuring out what the right legal structure for your business is. You know, I actually operate as an LLC because I want to have that liability protection. I know plenty of people that would say they don't have anything to worry about. They don't have any assets to protect, so they're comfortable doing a sole proprietorship. If you end up partnering with someone else, you might have a partnership. These are different things to think about. And then again, the last piece of this is if you have business partners, to go ahead and write them down. And even though, you know, this seems really simple to think about, again, this is just putting everything into one place. So your business name, your legal structure, and if you have any business partners. And after you've done that, well, actually, you're going to hit pause first. And then after you've done it, just go ahead and resume. And I'll see you shortly. And now it's time to start talking about money. So we're going to discuss step 5, which is called your financial plan and your goals. And right now we're really going to look at mostly kind of your expenses, and then we're going to drop into kind of where your income is going to come from. So there are essentially 3 types of expenses. There's startup cost, there's ongoing monthly cost, and then there's what I call yearly or periodic cost. And of course, in the worksheet, there's a lot more information that I'm going to go through the audio here, but I want to start up with talking a little bit about your startup expenses. These are things that are often one-time purchases, things that you're going to use for a long period of time, you know, like maybe your computer. Hopefully you're going to get 3 to 5 years, if not longer, out of that. If you know you're going to print, you're going to get a printer. I personally ended up getting a landline with a phone and a really amazing headset that was wireless because I like to walk around. I know using a cell phone can be just as easy. But you'll see that there is there's a category called equipment. And some of you that have other technology or equipment needs, you might add a couple other things in there. Again, this is a fillable PDF. But then I want you in the far right column to put in your budget. And what I mean by that is what you are willing to spend on that. And then, of course, you may need to do a little bit of research because certainly if you have a fancy printer, it could cost hundreds, if not near $1,000. Or if you just have a simple inkjet, it might be more like $70. You know, things that aren't in here are also like ink cartridges. And again, I tried to think of the things that were the bare minimum. And you know who you know yourself, you know what you need, so you might add to this. Of course, there's probably going to be some money towards professional services unless you have these skills, maybe for a graphic artist or a web designer. There's certainly lots of resources in that area, and we'll talk about that in class. But also, you may want to have an attorney look over your contracts, so that's going to cost you a little bit of money. And it may be valuable to talk to a CPA in terms of setting up your business and your accounting or maybe even your legal tax structure. Most people are also going to purchase business cards. You know, there's a lot of different companies like Moo.com, Vista.com. If you Google business cards, you'll see lots of options or online printing business cards. But again, you know, that's something you probably want to budget, especially if you know you're going to go out networking. If you plan on working in person with people, you're certainly going to have a desk, potentially multiple chairs, some kind of office decorations. If you're going to have a hot water dispenser or a coffee maker or things like that, you know, things that are going to be in your office to make it comfortable. And of course, these might also be part of your home office. And then, of course, you're going to have some kind of fee if you do what's called a DBA or doing business as or a business license. You know, and so, again, you're going to look those up for where you're living in the world. So those tend to be your startup expenses. And like I said, you might add a couple things in there. You can fill it in and just go ahead and make your budget. And then we're going to move into what I call monthly expenses. And these are really important because these are always going to be with you. And you want to make sure that you're aware of what your expenses are because it's going to also help you to frame how much you charge for your services, but not limit how much you charge for your services. So you're certainly going to have an ISP cost, internet service provider. If you have a landline, you're going to have a phone cost. In addition for that, a lot of internet service providers actually do the phone and the internet together, so you might consolidate that. If you are having a website, you're going to have a hosting fee for that. It'll be like a monthly fee, or you might pay for it as a yearly fee and get a discount. If you use something like MailChimp, eventually you're going to have an email service fee, which could be anywhere between $30 and $100, really depending on how many people you have on your list. But usually with like at least MailChimp, for your first 200 people, it's free. But, you know, go ahead and put it in there in your budget so it doesn't catch you by surprise when your list grows. Other things you might have is utilities. You know, you can certainly write those off. Business insurance. Again, you might have certain professional services you outsource. And then I want you to put a little bit of budget in there for things like Facebook ads or Google ads, even if you know you're not going to do them, because I want you to start to get into the mindset that sometimes you're going to have to invest a little bit of money into your business to make money. And I won't lie, I've actually spent very little doing advertising, but I absolutely know that it could have shaved off a lot of time and effort in terms of the work I did to write a lot of content, to do a lot of the other ways to market. So, you know, give yourself a little bit of budget. And then our last expenses are kind of those once-a-year ones. So certainly when it's tax time, you're going to want a CPA to help you process that information. You're going to need to budget for local, county, national taxes. You know, wherever you live, there's certainly going to be some kind of taxes. In general, most people will say you're going to budget about 35% of your net income. So that's the income that you have after your other expenses. So again, you know, this is going to be something to keep in mind so you don't get any surprises. And of course, your CPA can help you to do what are called estimated tax prepayment. You'll do like quarterly where you'll send the government X amount of dollars based on your income. And that way, at the end of the year, you don't get a surprise with this huge tax bill. It's kind of a little different. Actually, it's very similar to when you have a job and your employer takes money out for your taxes every paycheck. Of course, you're going to have software services like webinar platforms or booking applications and things like that, that those, again, will often charge you by the year. So the best part about this is it's a living document. And again, your budget is going to grow. It might shrink. But what I want you to do is start to write down what you think you're going to spend and do a little bit of research here. So again, you're planning for this. And, you know, it's hard to say exactly how much something will be. You know, I was one of those people that did quite a bit on my own. But as I mentioned earlier, sometimes if you do it all yourself, that takes a lot of your precious time. And sometimes investing that $20, $30 with Fiverr or maybe $100 or $200 to get some help might actually be just what you need. So go ahead and hit pause and prepare your budget. Money coming your way. So there are so many ways that you can earn money as a coach. Group coaching, you can do retreats, you can do mastermind events, online digital programs or digital products, books, speaking, oh yeah, and one-on-one coaching and group coaching. I just said that, but affiliate marketing, commissions you receive for referrals you make. A lot of people receive sponsorships or grants. There's a lot of different ways that you can receive money from others, other organizations, and things like that. So what I'd like you to do is think about all the different ways you would like to earn money and use the box below to write them in. And if you feel like you want to start out pretty simple, maybe you say you just want to do one-on-one coaching or group coaching, you know, just go ahead and drop that into the box because it's going to help us for our next step. And as you probably have figured out, I'm going to say hit pause and take that next step. Alrighty, so now you've got some ideas of how you want to earn your money. And if you did your homework and Infuse, you are already familiar with this next part, your spiral business matrix. So if you haven't gone through Infuse for any reason, I would seriously stop everything here and go back and do that. Otherwise, just use the spaces provided to fill in that information for your spiral business matrix. And the important thing to know about your spiral business matrix, it's literally your business model and how you're going to make money and how you're going to upsell and cross-sell to existing clients. A lot of businesses will sell one thing, and that limits you because once your clients have completed that service, you know, they're going to move on to someone else. But if you have another service to offer them, then you can always upsell them. And having an existing client who knows the quality you give is a lot easier to market to than a brand new person. So again, go ahead and hit pause and fill out the form. And, you know, if you haven't done this in Infuse, then please, please go back and do Infuse. Otherwise, you're going to feel a little bit confused with a few other things coming up shortly. And continuing the fun, let's talk about pricing strategies and payment options. So as you probably figured out, that the money mindset is probably one of the biggest things that we change makers deal with. A lot of us have messages around, you know, how much we should charge or even the fact that, you know, because we're helping someone, we probably shouldn't charge. Or, you know, that we're not worth enough because we haven't coached enough people. Fill in the blank with all those lovely beliefs. So here's a couple tips, and we'll certainly work through those money beliefs in the class. But I really want you to hear what I'm saying and find those places in your mind, find those thoughts or those feelings that really stop you from really truly getting paid well for the deep value that you offer. So your first rule is to always charge what you are worth. And by that, I mean, don't let other people determine your value. So comparing yourself to other people, to other coaches, you know, going on their sites, figuring out how much they charge and trying to charge based on what they're, charging. All of that is it's one way to get to pricing, but you're actually limiting yourself. So instead of comparing yourself to other people, focus on creating transformations with your clients and then learning how to market your real value. My second rule is marketing is king, it's queen, it's the knight, it's the golden lucky star. Because if you know how to market yourself, and that's exactly why you're here in this class, the more money you'll make. In fact, it's no surprise that some of the people, especially the coaches that make the most money, are masterful marketers. And remember, marketing doesn't mean you have to be sleazy or swarmy or inauthentic. Marketing is really about creating a relationship. My third rule is credibility counts. And those of you who are listening to this, 10 years ago, the ICF credential probably wasn't that much of a big deal, but now more and more people, more organizations are aware of how many people are actually putting the word coach after their name. And so they're starting to look for, is this person really a coach? And interestingly enough, research has actually shown that ICF credentialed coaches actually do earn more money. So it's something to put into your plan to get that ICF credential. And of course, the last rule is to always start with a financial baseline and then go up from there. And that's what we're actually going to do. So what I mean by a financial baseline is how much money do you need to cover your expenses and still be able to save some money each month? So that's going to be your baseline. And why I say that is a lot of us will put ourselves lower than our baseline. So let's say your living expenses are $3,100 a month. And that includes everything, including those restaurants, the weekend trips to the coast. And you also want to put away $500 a month towards retirement or maybe a slush fund. So that's $3,600 a month that you want to bring home, or what's called net. Before I go on, this is an example here about thinking about your needs and financial plan. You might need $2,500 a month, or you might need $10,000 a month. I want you to make this your own. So your next step after deciding how much a month you need as a baseline, and you can pad it more than I have to, you know, give yourself what you need to take into consideration of how much of your income is going to go to taxes and other business expenses. So let's just assume that a third of your income is going to go to taxes. And because you've got a budget in mind that you've just done, you can do the math. So let's say you want to make, or you're planning on making, $6,000 a month. Your business expenses for that month, based on your budget, are $500, and you'll be taxed at 33%. So that would be $6,000 in gross income, minus $500 in expenses, which would end up being $5,550. And that's now your net income. And remember, about a third of that is going to go to taxes. So you're going to end up with roughly about $3,700 for that month. As you see, there's a couple tables that you can use to do your own math, which is what, of course, I'm going to invite you to do next. And again, this is a living document, and it's time for you to play here so you can kind of get an idea of exactly what you will need to make. And then we'll talk about next how you're going to make it. So go ahead and hit pause and finish this next step. And when you're ready, just go ahead and finish up the monthly goals. Write down your income streams, how much you're going to charge, the volume you're going to have, and of course, how much money you're going to make. And again, you're going to get kind of an idea of where your income's going to come from. And I'll just kind of give you an example of what I did. So since I originally just wanted to do one-on-one coaching, I actually decided at that point I was going to charge $150 an hour. And so I had to do the math, and I realized pretty quickly how many hours of coaching I needed to do. And that's what motivated me to get my first 17 clients. And then after about a year of that, I decided that working that much was not fun for me, and I got more into group coaching and programs and products. Again, hit pause and finish up the form, and we'll go up from here. Okay, let's take a big, deep breath. We've just worked through the money part. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it can be a little bit confusing because there's a lot of guesswork. And how are you supposed to know how much utility or how much your phone's going to be, or even how many clients you're going to have? This is, again, a document that's supposed to help you, or it should help you, or it will help you actually start to get clear on your goals, and so you can start working towards them. This isn't the end-all be-all. If you notice on our next step, we're going to go back to the ideal client avatar. And again, if you've done Infuse, you should have all this information. Again, just go ahead and transfer it over into your business document. And then we're going to step into our next space, which is the business landscape. So go ahead and hit pause. And I'll be waiting for you for our next section. And now it's time to talk about the competition. And by that, I mean other people that are simply doing things that are very similar to you or maybe working with similar audiences. So your first step at kind of looking at the business landscape is to identify maybe 5 to 10 people, you know, and look at their websites that belong to people who are likely marketing to similar clients. I want to say something that's really important to know. When you look at your competition, just remember that many of these people are already established. This is not about compare and despair. This is about looking at what's potentially going to be yours, but even better, okay? Because part of the reason we look at our competition is we try to figure out the places where they're not tapped into the market, or the holes that we can fill, or the way we can market ourselves that are a little bit different. So I'm going to give you an example in just a few minutes of what that might look like, but I want you to stop for a moment, hit pause, and write down 5 to 10 websites that belong to people who are likely already marketing to your ideal clients. So hit pause and do some research. I'm imagining it's going to take a little bit of time to do this, so I'll just be waiting when you're ready. In this next section, we're going to do some competitive analysis. The first thing we're going to start to talk about is what your strengths are. And if you remember, we kind of talked about this in Infuse with your signature solution. So like, for example, I created a coaching program called Digital Fame. And part of my strengths include that I have 3 decades of experience as a global marketing expert and countless hours as an online experience in terms of serving public figures and celebrities. So one of my strengths is I've actually worked with top-notch names to broaden their reach and grow their businesses into the millions. So that's one strength I've got in terms of a lot of past experience helping others. That being said, there are many different strengths that all of us bring to the table. And so generally, those are things that other people may or may not have. But one of the things that makes us very unique is our life experience, our academic, our work experience. And so that's what I want you to bring into this box. And of course, if you did Infuse, you'll recognize that we've done some of this already. So a big part of Infuse was kind of working through the business plan, but in a less formal way. So now we're putting it all together. So go ahead and hit pause and put in your strengths. And just remember that you might share strengths with a lot of your competitors. And one of the big things that differentiate us from one another is our personality and our perspective. So go ahead and put your strengths in, hit pause, and I'll be waiting for you when you're ready to come back. In this next section, we're going to talk about your unique selling proposition. And I'm going to say this makes me a little bit nervous because typically what that means is what differentiates your services from your competitors, such as maybe you have a lower cost or higher quality, or maybe you offer something that this is the first time it's ever been offered. And it puts a lot of pressure on in terms of potentially things that may or may not be what truly makes you uniquely you. And in my experience, you know, certainly if you're the first person to offer something really unique or offer a process that's really unique, that can be really valuable to other people. But sometimes it's who you are being and how you are being with people that really differentiates you. So go ahead and hit pause and write down what you think might be your unique selling position. And once again, drawing upon your work from the Infuse course, go ahead and take the space and the time, actually a little bit of both, to write down your customers' needs and what these are, kind of their top of mind problems, what they feel like they need, the opportunities they want to create. But go ahead and document those down into your business plan as well. And when you're ready, come back. This next section is about taking note of your competitor's strengths. And so what I would do is pick three of those websites that you looked at, three people that are actually really close to what you do, maybe people you feel a little bit envious of or that you really would like to be like, however it might be, you know, but people that are really close to the work you're doing and the population you want to serve, and then see if you can decide what their strengths are. And of course, using the space provided, go ahead and put those down. And when you're ready, come back. And now the last piece of our exercise with your business plan is to take note of what might be your competitor's unique selling proposition. So what is their position? Are they best in class? Are they offering different types of services based on different things? Just see what you can do. Now the key here is when you research other people, this is about learning. It's not about knowing exactly what they do, but what I want you to do is really familiarize yourself with what's already out there in the market so you can find the sweet spots to talk about your services so that you stand out and you are those people who need you the most can find you. So we will talk about this in class for our Done With You lab, but I want you to know that you already have a lot of value. That as you're going through this exercise, it might feel a little intense because you may not have all the answers. It might feel strange or uncomfortable or fill in the blank feeling looking at your competitors or even coming up with your pricing. But that's what we're here to help you with. We want you to feel comfortable and confident with your business plan and know that it's going to grow with you. All right, so go ahead and wrap up things. And if you have specific questions, in the meantime, post in the Facebook group. All right, thank you.